Okay, Rabbi Isai. First, we want to express a chorus of toiv for Eli Glazer and his family, and also Tuvia Salzburg, who in the past few years have been graciously kind enough to donate the svarim, basically, that we study year after year. That is all health, and that it should be a schus for all of the neshamas that are mentioned here on the inside. And they should have continuous out of the Shemayim, be able to do for Klal Yisrael, Torah mitzvahs, Sheva Brocha Vastocha, Lahagdol Torah Adir Abi as Goyal Tzedek. Sefer Derech Hashem is just one of the many, many different svarim of the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lusato. It is a very, very unique sefer, and a very extremely special sefer, because the teachings are there is extremely important. And the objective of the sefer, we'll discuss in a moment. Let us just mention that some of us have had this chus this past year to actually walk in the footsteps of the Ramchal being in Padua, in Italy. He went to other mekomos, other many cities there. But having truly this chus being in the ancient section, going back many centuries ago, and as a matter of fact, visiting even one of the old shuls that go back many centuries, there's a good chance, not clear if the Ramchal actually davened there, but certainly he stepped into that shul as well. And the fact is that the cave of the Ramchal is not there, because he was later oiled to Eretz Yisrael. He was nifter very young, at the age of 39-40. Tremendous tragedy that happened because of a magefa, him and his wife. They both passed away, very, very young age. And his kever is, anybody in Eretz Yisrael, next to the kever of Rabbi Akiva, which is in Tveria. He came to Akko, he lived there for a while. And to this day, there is a mokim, sort of like, which is designated as a shul, which is the basic nesses of the Ramchal. But after he was nifter, he was taken to Tveria. And he's right next to the kever of Rabbi Akiva. And some say that, matter of fact, it's interesting that that particular Shaifas Rabbi Akiva, there is written some claims from sources of Kabbalah, at least from a Kabbalistic view, that Ramchal in fact was a nitzis of Rabbi Akiva. Interesting thing is, how it is being explained is, that you know Rabbi Akiva did not start to learn until the age of 40. And yet he became the greatest chokham of all the Chacham Yisrael, the greatest Torah leader that one could imagine, at kedekach that in certain areas that we find in Medrash and also the Gemara Menachos, he might have even surpassed Moshe Rabbeinu in certain areas that Moshe did not reach, whatever the reasons were, because Baruch had his chishbonos, but Rabbi Akiva was zoche, and Moshe Rabbeinu in a certain sense had this tinge of, let us say, this kinah seifrim, the fact that Rabbi Akiva was able to have and to enjoy certain areas of Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu did not. So Rabbi Akiva started at the age of 40 with teachers, no matter how late in life you start, it's never too late. Not never too late simply to become something. You become the greatest authority, you know, of the Jewish people, like Rabbi Akiva was, starting at the age of 40, which means that the first 40 years of his life, he did not learn. Ramchal lived 40 years to be Mashlim. Those 40 years that Rabbi Akiva did lost out in the beginning, so the Nisham of Rabbi Akiva, the Nitzus of Rabbi Akiva that Ramchal had, and he passed away just about the age of 40. While we were there in Padua, let's remind the Olam also that the opportunity to visit the cave of the Barbanel, who actually, through all of his journeys, you know, from in Spain and in Portugal and so on, made his way to Venice. And finally in Venice, he was nifter in Venice, and from there they took him, and the kvura was in Padua. And right next to him is the cave of Yehuda Mintz. Yehuda Mintz is also one of the great goyim, going back to the 1400s, which is one side by side, these two kvarim. In addition to other things there, but we're getting a little bit off topic here. But let's a little bit about Ramchal, so we'll appreciate, before we get into the sefer, and systematically we're doing a little more, always let you know a little bit about Moshe Chaim Lusato. Okay, basically he was born in 1707. He was born, and Padua at that time was a city which was, Jewish population was extremely large. A lot of Torah was being learned at the time. His father's name was Rabbi Yaakov Chai. So his name was Rabbi Moshe Chaim. His father was Rabbi Yankiv Chai, was an Odom Choshev, and they had this chus min Hashemayim to bring down this great neshama, the neshama that turned out to be the Ramchal. At that time in Padua, who was the Rav in Padua at the time? It was the Gadol Hador Beniglu Benister in all areas of Torah. Name was Rabbi Yishaya Basan. Shai Basan was the Rav of Padua at the time. He was the Rosh Yeshiva as well, and he was the Rebbe of the Ramchal. Shai Basan was in Kabbalah, was the Talmud of Rav Moshe Zakuto. Moshe Zakuto was the greatest Balam Kabbalah, the greatest Kabbalist of the time. One of the many Svarim that he wrote is Koil HaRamaz, Samishnayis. Koil HaRamaz is Rav Moshe Zakuto. The Rabbi Shai Basan, by the way, the Ksos HaChoshen in Choshen Mishpat brings down Rabbi Shai Basan, a particular kasha of him. He was, as we say, one of the Gedolei Hador, wrote a sefer called Lach Mitoido. Rabbi Shai Basan, as we say, was the Rebbe of the Ramchal, and he was a Talmud in Kabbalah, Rabbi Shai Basan of Rav Moshe Zakuto. He was a Talmud, he learned 3 years by Rav Moshe Zakuto in Mantova, in Italy. Well, we made our way, in our itinerary, we made our way to Mantova, because we were aware that Rav Moshe Zakuto is buried in Mantova. How do we know that? From the Chidah. Because the Chidah, who lived in Italy the last 2 decades of his life, right, who basically traveled all over Europe, here and there, twice he came from Eretz Yisrael, went back, and then finally the last 2 decades of his life lived in Livorno, which we also visited. In Mantova, the Chidah writes regarding Rav Moshe Zakuto. However, we had a lot of difficulty trying to find it. Finally, Saturday Shemaya, tremendous Saturday Shemaya. Him and Ramam Mepanu, the great Baal Mekubal, Rabbeinu Menachem Azariah Mepanu, both on the same base of Chaim. However, there's an army base there. There's no way to find the Maseva. But you know that that's where the base of Chaim was. And the Kvarim are there, covered over with an army base. There's a gate around it with a big, big sign saying that here's Mokum and Uchosom, that these two Kedosh Elyon, these two greats, which are Moshe Zakuto and also the Ramam Mepanu. And of course, we said a capital Tillim, and we spoke a little bit about them, and so on and so forth. So, Rav Shaya Basan studied in Mantova by Rav Moshe Zakuto for about 3 years. He studied Kabbalah over there. It didn't take long for Rav Shaya Basan to see that he had a prodigy. He had a prodigy, he had someone who was a great Ilui, a genius. You have to realize that when Ramchal was the age of 14, at age of 14, he already learned on his own way much more than he was taught by his Rebbe. And at the age of 14, it is accepted that he already was a Boki B'chol Chadri Torah Shas Bavli Yerushalmi Medroshim. Also, he was a Boki already in all the writings of the Arizal in Kabbalah. But however, he hid that. Did not reveal that. It was called the Nechbal HaKelim, someone who conceals his greatness, to the extent that at that time, not his father nor his Rebbe really knew the extent. They knew he was great, but they were not aware to the full extent of the greatness of Ramchal. All he revealed was his godless in Nigla, in the revealed portion of Torah, but did not reveal to them the tremendous knowledge that he already had, he acquired regarding to the hidden portions of Torah. When he was already age 17, he published his first sefer. Sefer is called Loshen Limudim. It's a sefer that basically delves in and shows and describes the beauty of Loshen Kodesh. And Gedolei LaHador were tremendously in the spoil. It's time to see that someone at that young age were able to publish and even write, to be mechaber, compose such a sefer. And one of the comments he received was from a great Baal Mekubal of the generation. His name was Rav David Finzi. Italian name, Rav David Finzi, who happened to be the Rav of Mantova at the time, who later becomes the father-in-law of the Ramchal. Ramchal married late in life. That was also one of the oppositions against him, those that had suspected him, Ramchal, of somehow not being in tune with the proper derech, which B'meshach HaZman will be discussing the details of that. But when the time is worth, they said the fact that he's marrying late. It's someone who really, if he's a true Dovik Bashem, it's not appropriate to marry late in life. But the true reason was why he married late in life, because Ramchal was privileged, had his chus, to become so great in Kedusha, that he tined in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was Pirish Min Oisha. So himself, his name was also Moshe. It was Moshe Chaim. It was Moshe the same way at the time. It was Maisa, he married, but he married late, at a later later age. Now, while Ramchal was still quite young, so his Rebbe leaves Padua. His Rebbe leaves Padua with Shai Basan his Rebbe, and he goes to Reggio, one of the places that we did not visit because it was out of the Seder. We'd lose a lot of time to go here and there, and we only had 4 days to do whatever we did. So going there in Reggio, happened to live, it's good to remember these tremendous Baal Mukabolim. He's known as the Rabach Reish Beis Chof, Rabbi Yomen HaKoyen. Yomen HaKoyen was also Megdol HaTalmidim of Rabbi Moshe Zakuto, and he's the father of Rabbi Shai Boson. So as Rabbi Shai Boson leaves Padua to go to Reggio, Ramchal is left in Padua, and there totally, completely, every 15 minutes or so, they say, every quarter of an hour, he was so steeped in the areas of Kabbalah that his mind was totally, totally connected. And he would be miyachid yehudim, very different, all different types of formulations of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it was in the year 1727. 1727 was on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan, when he is sitting isolated, because that's the way he would do his Avodas Hashem, in isolation, in his Boidedus. He would be there, and as he had Kavona for a very particular formulation of a combination of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so at the height of his Avodas Hashem, there be his Boidedus, he falls asleep, or basically he has this slumber that falls upon him, and he wakes up and he hears a voice, and the voice says the following: Legalo nachisna, I've come to reveal Rosin Tamirin the Malki Kadisha. I've come to reveal the hidden secrets of the Holy King of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He hears those voices, he gets up, he's trembling, and he's not sure what he's hearing, and he's mechazik himself, he strengthens himself, and again he hears the voice speaking to him again, and it happened to be that the voice it was interesting to see if this is going to happen over and over again, so he made sure to have in mind the next day the same type of formulations of Yehudim. And sure enough, he says the voice comes back to him, until finally, after a number of days, the voice tells him that he's a Malach Min HaShemayim. That's the Magid that Ramchal had, which is a Malach Min HaShemayim, that gave him over Soides HaTorah, that he should be Mechavin. In other words, whenever the Ramchal wanted the Malach to come to him, all he had to do was have in mind certain configurations and formula of Tzirufim, combinations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, which the Malach revealed to him. You have in mind this formula, this is the way to summon me, that I should come to you. And this is the way it was. And the Ramchal was able to ask him anything that he wanted, and the Malach would reveal that to him. This Seder basically took place 3 months. And then the Magid, the Malach, which was the Magid, gave him also particular tikkunim, particular things of anhogis, that instructed Ramchal to do on a daily basis. Because when you're going to do these tikkunim, you're going to do these things, you're going to be zoich to have Eliyahu HaNavi come to visit you regularly. And kachave, it was from then on that he was zoich that Eliyahu HaNavi came to him bikvias, on a steady basis. So now the Magid tells him, we have a mission for you and Hashemayim, and that is that you should be mechaber, that you should author a sefer on Kehelis. And the Magid told him all the secrets that is involved of all the particular psukim, and also Eliyahu HaNavi revealed to Ramchal all the very particular secrets. And one particular day Eliyahu HaNavi says to Ramchal, he says to him that from now on he's going to be zoichi even to a higher malach, and that is the Malach Matat himself, who is considered to be the Rosh of all the Malachim, famous Malach. Malach Matat Sora Rabu is considered to be the high eminent Tsar of Shemayim. And so it was, he used to come to him, as well as many other Nishomas came in a Shemayim, but when he saw them in the flesh as if they appeared as human beings. In other words, coming down to earth, they basically came down in an earthly appearance, but these were in fact real Nishomas that came down, to Ramchal. So, turns out that Ramchal basically, at that time, continuously writes three Sfarim, from the Magid alone, that was still before Eliyahu. The Sefer on Kehelis, which only covers a very small portion, is 1,000 pages. The Sefer on Kehelis, which covers a very small portion of Kehelis, is 1,000 pages. Also, he writes the Sefer Tikkunim, which is printed very, very late, Mamish, very late, way, about 150 years or more after his Patira. And then also he has Machaber, which is called the Sefer Noir, an awesome Sefer on Chumash. But everything is Beloshen HaZoyer. In other words, Ramchal wrote a second Zoyer HaKodesh. In the same way that we know this is the Zohar Kodesh of Yishim ben Yochoy, which is all in Loshen, which is in Aramaic, Ramchal on his own wrote what's called a second Zohar HaKodesh. Everything with Loshen Arami is called Zohar Tinyono. It's called the second Zohar. And many, many other Chiburim, however, they were all destroyed or lost, we don't know where they are, and so on and so forth. But just mention one more Nekuda here. We're going to move on here. As mentioned, that Ramchal, basically, he was an Echbal Hakem, did not reveal to the world his true madrigas, but he basically was involved in founding a very special yeshiva of select and choice Talmidim, who are totally dedicated Bala Madrega, who will be in that yeshiva. Yeshiva is called Mevakshe Hashem, those who search out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this had very, very strict regiment. In other words, even if you were in a madrega, to fall into the group, but now that you're part of the group, it was very, very demanding, completely demanding. These were people that were already gedolim to begin with. It's not like you go into yeshiva to become great. These people were great before they were accepted in the yeshiva. They were great in Nigla and in Nister and so on. And just here, just some of the takonas of the yeshiva, which I'll read out to you. It starts out, Eilu divra habris ha-chukim ha-mishpotim va-toyrus asher kiblu aleim ha-chaverim ha-kdoshim. Here we have some of the laws and some of the anhogis that the chaverim kedoshim will mekabel upon themselves. L'kayim aleim l'shem yichud kutshu brichu kulam. Because all of these chaverim, the first thing is that you have to have complete achdus. That all of the talmidim, kulam, liyois ki-ish echod, they all have to view themselves as being one. Each and every Talmud should view themselves being part and parcel. The Yechoshev Echol Mem Kikulam to all of this Avodah. Okay, number one. So what's the Avodah? Avodah number one is that the learning in that Beis Medrash had to be continuous non-stop. So how could it be? You have to eat, you have to sleep. It meant that when one finished, someone else was ready immediately. It was by rotation and by prearrangement. So when one finished, so that, and he had to go to eat or whatever, so at night time when somebody went, or some of them went to sleep, you had others that were up at night, which means so around the clock, literally 24 hours a day, there had to be Limud HaTorah. And the Limud HaTorah basically was in the Chelik HaNistra of Torah, in the hidden portion of Torah. And this had to be Zeh HaZeh, which basically what the limit was in Sefer Zohar HaKodesh, except Shabbos because of Shabbos and Purim and Tisha B'Av, of course, and Erev Tisha B'Av and so on. They also made a Tanai. They made a Tanai, as we said, that let's say it happened that one of the Chaverim has to leave for some reason, that he had to leave town, he had to leave Padua. So it means that the remaining Chaverim had to take upon themselves to be Mashlim. To be Mashlim, to finish off, they take the place and substitute the role of the Chaver, who is just not here now, and would be considered as if the one that departed is really still acting and it still would be there. The second condition that they also had was that they clearly made up in their mind that they are not doing it except Schar Min HaShemayim. In other words, when the Mishnah says, Al Tiyu Kavodin, Hamisham Shemisarav Al Manas L'Kabul Pras, do not be like those servants, right, who expect reward. But rather, you should be like Avodim, be like those Avodim who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, on a higher level. Shloya Manas L'Kabul Pras. This was a condition that they do it without any expectation of any reward. However, what we're doing is that any schar of our learning will go to the benefit of Klal Yisrael to bring Mashiach quicker. So they, in essence, were ready to sacrifice, to be makrid, any schar or any reward that might be due to them for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Should be a tikkun for Klal Yisrael, because Baruch Hu should get a pleasure of the avodah, and this way it would be a tikkun for Klal Yisrael. It would minimize the sorrows in Klal Yisrael. It would minimize, hopefully, many of the problems that Klal Yisrael had to undergo, and so on and so forth. So, because this is just as we mentioned, when we said here, this is the half of a fellow, that the kavana should not be for any personal interest. It's not only the interest should be devoid, should not have in mind schar, but should not even go for kaporas avoinus. Totally, completely unselfish for any personal reason, only for the sake of Klal Yisrael. You can understand these conditions, as we mentioned, are just some of them. And this is what it took to become a part of the Chevra, of it was called the Chevra Mavak Shei Hashem. It would also be that every tenth day there would be a fast day. Every tenth day would be a fast day. Wasiri Yekodesh Lashem. So the tenth day, by rotation going, will become a fast day. And so on. This is how, then they start over again. This is the Mahalath, this is the way it would go non-stop. The Sefer that we have over here, Derech Hashem, Rabban Feldman, Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael, once wrote a Haskomen on a particular edition of the Sefer, Derech Hashem. And he writes, he says that this Sefer Derech Hashem, he says, is one of the basic works, he says, on Judaism, on man's relationship to Hashem and the Torah. In other words, if a person wants to be able to achieve the strongest, and to know how, relationship between him and Hashem, and to the Torah, this is the Sefer Derech Hashem. Sefer Derech Hashem's purpose is to create the bond, to create a bond, personal relationship that a person could have and achieve between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah. And Rabban Feldman writes the words and he says, I quote, it's important for every Jew to enhance that relationship by starting, he says, the Sefer Derech Hashem. Throughout history, Bechlal, if you go back, let's just mention, there have been a few attempts to try to systemize the principles of Emunah. We know, of course, we have the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13 principles of the Rambam, the Animamins. In terms of trying to systemize the basic principles of Jewish belief, so we know that there are two classic efforts. One of them is the Sefer called Emunas Vedeus, Doctrines and Beliefs. That's from Rabbeinu Sadia Goin. Rabbeinu Sadia Goin Rabbeisai is in the 9th century. The Kufa of the Goyinim, Emunas Vedeus, basically talking about Emunah Bashem. Second Sefer, basically, which is a classic Sefer, is called the Sefer HaIkorim, the book of foundation, or fundamentals, the book of fundamentals, which was again one of the Spanish Gedolim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, great philosopher, who was in the 1300s into the 1400s. So, there have been great classics in Jewish philosophy. You have. But nevertheless, Talmidim always try to find a systematic approach when it comes to Jewish thought. Try to find a systematic approach, and there are not too many places to turn to make it easier, meaning because it's systematic. So one of these has been Mamish, this Sefer, the Sefer Derech Hashem, by the Ramchal. Here, basically, he brings down and teaches us the most basic beliefs regarding the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He points out what was the purpose of Hashem in creating the world. What's the purpose, he says, to find out. Also, he shows us the most important teachings to be a Yid in Judaism and the logical consequences. And so, So as we have over here, we're going to find out, we see that it's a very, very unique Sefer. It's a little bit, let's use the Lashon, relatively a little more difficult than the Mesilas Yesharim, because it deals a little more philosophical than the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. I might point out that students of Jewish philosophy, Bechlal, who go into that, are often confused by the fact, because if you look in the classical works of Jewish philosophy, you'll find that some of the work seems to go against some of the mainstream of Jewish thought. There's a reason for this. Because the increasing influence of Kabbalah, right, came upon almost all Jewish thinkers. So the original giants that we're talking about the Rambams, Rav Sadia Goin, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, and so on, they had little access to Kabbalah thought, and therefore this was not part of their system. Ramchal, besides, of course, being a very brilliant thinker, also was a foremost Kabbalist. And the Melech, for all his writings, took in account the teachings of Kabbalah. We're not learning Kabbalah here, Rabbi Yisai, but it was systemized. Which means, basically, it was a system which was assumed. The system was assumed by Kabbalah. And therefore, it finds itself right in the center of the mainstream, basically, of Jewish thought. So just finally, just mention that Rav Shlomo Salanter, founder of the Musar movement. So Salanter Taka stressed the study, of course, of the difference from Ramchal. Mesilas Yesharim, of course, which is the classic which everybody knows about, by the path of the just, Mesilas Yesharim. And he writes as follows, he says, There are many, many Svarim on Musar. Said it was Paul Salanter, right? The father of the Musar movement. And this is what he said. There are many, many Svarim, he said, on Musar. And he said as follows, all are good. But the difference is as follows. He says, all the classical Svarim, he says, on Musar, demonstrate that a man must fear Hashem. The Mesilas Yesharim tells us how to do it. So that's the difference. All the Sifrei Musar encourage us, how important it is to have Yiras Shamayim. The Mesilas Yesharim of the Ramchal tells us how to do it, how to be able to achieve that. As time, of course, went on, and certainly by this day, everybody realizes, of course, that the Ramchal was one of the most brilliant thinkers of the past several centuries. His depth of thought and the systematic mind are evident in all the works. And over 200 years ago, the Vilna Goin, Rabbi Yoram Vilna, declared and said the following. This is the words of the Vilna Goin. The Vilna Goin said, regarding the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, he said, had the most profound understanding, he said, of Judaism that any mortal human could attain. A human being, a boss of Adam, the highest level of understanding, he says, what Judaism means, that's even possible for a human being to attain, Ramchal, he said, attained the highest level. And he furthermore said, the Goyim, that Ramchal would be alive in his generation, some of you mentioned the past when we started Ramchal, he would go by foot, he would walk, he said, all the way from Vilna to Italy to sit at his feet and be able to learn directly. Which is an unprecedented type of illusion that the Goyim would say about anybody and anybody. The koyach of the Ramchal of system, of course, could be very simply. That was part of his genius as well, as everything. Some suggest maybe he received it from one of his rabbeim. You see, one of his rabbeim was the great Goyim, also outstanding physician of his time, great philosopher, was Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti, the Mechaber of the Sefer Pachad Yitzchok. You see, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti, wrote single-handedly the first major Talmudic encyclopedia, 20 large volumes, no computer, Rabbi Yisrael. Very systematically going down from the letters of Aleph Beis, all the topics under the Aleph, then under Beis, categorized, very, very systematically. And Memela, some suggest maybe the Ramchal adopted the character of being able to systemize, maybe from Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti. We made it part of our itinerary. Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti lived in Ferrara, also in the 1700s, and the issue that we knew, of course, is that there's no Matzev in Ferrara. It was a tremendous Jewish community going back in those years, because the Chidor writes, I went to the yeshiva Ferrara, and I spent, he says, a lot of time discussing Torah with the great Talmid HaChachomim in the yeshiva in Ferrara. The Yitzchok Lamprunti is noted as being the Godel of Ferrara, also, as you mentioned, an outstanding physician, which was recognized by all. But at that particular time, the Pope had decreed that any Jew who passes away, you're not allowed to erect a matzeva, which means that it was not a matzeva. Not that we don't have it today, it was not even then. But the old Beis HaChaim remains where it is location. The newer one is not far from it, like connected. We were there, and all we know is we are on Admas Kodesh, even though we cannot point to any particular. We did see some, simonim of Kvarim here and there. And we spoke about Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti. We said a capital Tilm, as we did in every place. And mentioned what he stood for, and his godless, and what he accomplished, and his legacy that he left. So this Rabbi Yisai basically is, as we're mentioning here, this is Ramchal. And this is the godless of the Ramchal. So now let us take a look. We begin in the Sefer Derech Hashem. The Sefer, what we're going to do is right in the beginning, Chelik Aleph. In the editions that we have over here, it's Daf Choftes, page Choftes, Chelik Aleph. Okay, it's Chelik Aleph and Perek Rishon, Daf Choftes. Now, I want to tell you that some of the reasons that the Derech Hashem is not sometimes so easily, as I say, Mesilas Yesharim is something that is all over, because the Derech Hashem is not so easy sometimes to translate. First of all, the Ramchal had a classical Lashon Kodesh. His Lashon Kodesh was very on a high level. If you're a little bit of a maven on Lashon Kodesh, and certainly when you take a look at the compositions, might I tell you that he wrote his own Tehillim. He wrote 150 Psalms, Kapitlach, in the same way, which corresponds to the Tehillim of David HaMelech. And I'm going to tell you that if you look at that Sefer, quote Tehillim, didn't call it Tehillim, the Sefer Tehillim, there's Mizmor, this way, that way. If you're not a little book in Tehillim, you would swear that this is the authentic Tehillim. Because the writing and the phrasing, the phraseology, and the things that are mentioned,